Let's go. Action. All right. You know, speaking of... Wait a second. Speaking of action, we're talking about action over here. And that is Zerizus. Having action. Now, it's very easy in life to have action for a day or have action for a moment or two. You know, sometimes you hear, push yourself. We're not talking about that. We are talking about lifestyle, habits, achieving, reaching. I was reading something recently about aspiration. I wonder what aspiration is. Something you aspire to. And basically how marketing and aspiration work together. That basically a person, they'll market to your aspirations. Like, for example, they show that every year after January 1st, the gym gets 12% higher, 12% higher every single year. Right? Why? Because people, every year, they have quote-unquote New Year's resolutions, and they aspire to have a new year. And what happens is, how many people use a gym? They use it for a week, they use it for a month, and then they quit. So aspiration is one thing. You can aspire to do something. But to continually do something, it's not the same type of thing. So personally, I have an aspiration, I'll push myself. So what we're really talking about is having an approach where we're not, right now at least, not lazy to accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish. Because you can want to, we're assuming we know what we're supposed to be doing. But to achieve that, you can't waste life. You can't get up in an area where you're going to be constantly squandering opportunities, losing out in life. You know, it's funny because a few ladies don't come and hear this class. So they've told me this thing, you know, I heard so much of this Facebook thing and this, and I was listening and that. I wasn't trying to ruin the stock of Facebook, by the way. What I was saying is if you have what I accomplish in life, right, don't lose your focus. Right? Don't lose what you could be doing and what's really important. When you really think about it, what's really important, what's really achieving, what really means something. After 120 years, the Chafetz Chaim, to men in particular, have a mitzvah of studying Torah. Every word of Torah that you study, you get a mitzvah. You know what that means? Every word that you study, you get a mitzvah. Every word, every moment, every second is precious. So it's not just time. It's realizing that what you're doing is constructive. So if you waste time, I don't care what you're wasting time on, you're not going to be getting what you're supposed to be getting. And certainly, when there's goals for ourselves, when there's opportunities that we have every day to do things, if we're sitting there reading news articles or putting smiley faces on people eating breakfast or hearts on people, you know, walking on a park somewhere or on James Comey, whatever side you like of the James Comey discussion, or you're reading 22 articles in Russian and in French and in Chinese to understand what the foreign press is saying. I mean, it's cost-benefit analysis. So in our own self, each one of us in this room, or who are listening, should really have aspirations. But whether we'll get to what we aspire to, it could be to be a holy Jew, it could be to be a good parent, it could be to daven twice a day for ladies, it could be to spend time with family, it could be a million things. We could have aspirations, but if we don't have the methodology to implement what our aspirations are, we're not going to get there. We're not going to achieve what we could and should achieve. So, Shlomelch, because of that, is really hitting laziness. And lazy is not like you think of a lazy bum. Laziness, you can be, quote-unquote, active, but you're lazy to do what you're supposed to do. You're lazy to accomplish what you could and should accomplish. So there are people who are very busy, but they're lazy. I have a couple of kids who, bless their hearts, they can be playing and running and doing and this, but when they're supposed to do their homework, I'm tired. I don't have time. Anyone ever experienced? Yeah. I mean, so they're not lazy. They're running around. They're not lazy. but they're missing the boat. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, there's and that really is us sometimes. We look at a kid like, you're supposed to do your homework, right? But we also have our own homework. And it's not laziness. We're very busy people. When you ask people, I'm very busy. Very busy. I barely have any free time. Well, why do you barely have free time? What are you doing with your time? How are you using yourself? What are you doing with things that are important? I was thinking of myself today. My daughter Shifra had this song she learned for Shavuos, things flying around. So I was dinner was spending time with the kids at school, blah blah blah. And so Shifra says she wants to tell teach a song. And you know, of course, I stayed. At first, I was like, "Get out of here!" But I stayed. Started singing the song, and it was such a cute little song which she learned in Yeshiva preschool today about Sinai and this. So my other two daughters start singing also some other stuff about Mount Sinai, and then my whole table starts a little choir about Mount Sinai. This song they all learned as a little kid. So you know, at some level, you know, but it was a nice thing, and you know, we all have these things which, you know, if we misplace our time, we miss. Now it could be kids, it could be very easily Torah mitzvahs. And the other thing about Torah mitzvahs is, you know, I say this for an aspiration for you ladies. You know, whatever you're davening, to take davening more seriously and invest more time in davening. And why? After 120 years, most people are going to look at their lives and they're going to be shown a film of different films of what you did and what you could have been. One of the scariest films could be, you're a good person, but look, if you would have davened, you wanted this success in this area or in this area, it was all there for you. You didn't daven for it. You could. This child could have got married. You could have had this business opportunity. You could have had more spirituality. You could have moved into this house. You could have a million. What happened? Why didn't you daven? Keep davening. Prayer is the keys. So what are you going to say? We're busy. We're busy people. So we're going to look at it. Hashem's going to say, okay, so let's look at this. Let's look at the tape. What were you busy with? What were you doing with your free time? And you know what the really crazy thing is? Some of the things we're busy with, if we would have davened, we wouldn't have been busy with. You understand what I'm telling you? Some of the things that we're busy with, if we would have davened, there would have been a shortcut. It would have been, anyone play the game Chutes and Ladders? Right? I haven't played for a while either.
It's been longer for me.
I'm not so sure about that. I heard that you play Monopoly every year. You know. But there's shoots and ladders. There's shortcuts in life. You know, sometimes you pray and you answer right away. Things work out for you. So making time is really important. And being lazy, and again, I don't want people to misunderstand lazy. Laziness does not mean you're sitting in bed drinking a pina colada. It means you're being lazy, like these little kids who don't want to do their homework, don't want to do what they want to do. Right? I grew up in Florida, so it's, you know.
Drink pina colada, no.
Okay, so says Sosha Sharim, Amr Shlomo, talking about another pasuk. Ve'echasa anoichi ashes libi. When I saw this, when I saw people lose themselves, I mentioned last week about people who were really religious when they're younger. Actually, I had somebody I was speaking to yesterday. Two people. One yesterday, one today, where they told me at one point in their life they were much more religious. Both of them were Israelis. Right? At one point in their life, they're both more religious. Both Sephardim, you know, who, because Ashkenazim, it's like a different, when Ashkenazi is, if he's not religious, or she's not religious, have to like justify everything in the world. they don't have guilt. It's like, they have to say, no, I'm right, but you know, Sephardi actually has, they're more emunah, and they have more guilt. So they don't, you know, I'm serious, it's like, that's why they're more masorti, like an Ashkenazi, everything has to be, you know, I'm right, it doesn't mean, you know, they have to rationalize everything they're doing. See, two people told me the same thing. that at different points of life, they're more observant. So I mentioned, how does that happen? How does that happen? It doesn't happen. It's not like today you're very religious and tomorrow you're not. It's little by little. You take a little corner here, take a little corner here, you slip over here, you slip over here. And over time, you know, you loosen a little bit here, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, until you're much weaker. That doesn't happen. Very rarely, if you see a person with, you know, a lady who's tzniyus and davening three times a day, she's in davening marav, tomorrow she's not going to wear tank tops and shorts in epig. It doesn't happen that way, unless has major schizophrenia, right?
It's gradual.
Right? It happens slowly. It happens over time. And how does it happen? You start getting lazy over here. I don't need to go to the shir. I missed the Wednesday night class. Can you imagine? What happened? That can start a whole sequence of events. God forbid. Right. Now, on a serious note, I have to stop hanging on a shul and start going to classes and davening, and I'm in a rush. And then there's some alternate forms of entertainment. And then, you know, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. You cut some corners here. And over time, there's a disconnect. So Shlomo Malka, when he sees, and it happens with boys also, very, very serious, he's into yeshiva, and then he sees them a few years later. I mentioned this. I know people that I look at them now 20 years later after yeshiva. Shocking. Literally shocking. You know, and it almost always happens gradually. So I'm going to show Shlomo, I saw this, I try to understand this. What's going on over here? He's spinanti al davarze. I thought about it. I contemplated it. Very easy golden rush. I saw how bad this is. Shehu ke'eres. It's like poison. Ha'hoylech u'mispashet ma'at ma'at. Like a poison that continuously spreads little by little. Ve'im pu'uloso ni'keres adamis. And you don't even see it until you're dead. Right? And slowly by slowly, the laziness, the lack of care goes over. The person, here's about religiosity over here, from kite, spirituality, slowly over here, sometimes it's work, you're very busy at work, and I gotta relax when I get home, and I don't have time for this. Over time, slowly but surely, a person slackens up, weakens over, and they don't even realize it. Marriage. Sometimes people, over time, they let their marriage get way shaky. I mean, relationships, by the way. I remember when I was learning in the Mir Yeshiva, and then I went to learn in a very good yeshiva called Shar HaTorah in Queens. And the Mir was in Jerusalem, and Shar HaTorah was in Queens. So I asked Rosh Yeshiva, you know, I have friends in the Mir Yeshiva, whenever you move to a new place, how much time should I invest in keeping a relationship? You know, it's actually, this weekend in Philadelphia is my 10th, the 10th anniversary of my law school graduation. I'm getting emails from them left and right. They want your money, of course, you know. So 10 years ago, I was in this class, in this law school for 3 years. Now, I was a late, I skipped, I don't know how many classes. I was learning in the yeshiva, learning the kollel, and I was doing kiruv there. But I was with these kids for 3 years, you know. I was in the diversity of yeshiva. I mean, I knew them well. I was like the rabbi in that situation, largely. But like, I think to myself, there was 240 kids in my law school class. 240, I have nothing to do with any of them. I'm sure if I'd see them, we'd have what to talk about. Some of them I was friendly with. But I wouldn't say the relationships were deep. I was friendly. Some of them I tried to inspire religiously. And, you know, some of them actually, you know, became much more religious. Or had more appreciation of Judaism. But I wouldn't call it deep relationships. And when I was in Philadelphia for those 3 years, I did form deep relationships with Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rav Shalom Kamenetsky and some of the Kollel Light and some of the other people who were in the part of the religious community there. That's kind of where I looked for more deeper relationships with. But I didn't invest in it. So I wasn't looking for my classmates. I was looking to be friendly, to be a mensch. I had a kiruv aspect there. So I had a weekly lunch and learn, and I had this Jewish club, and I had a lot of them come for Shabbos, and for other things, sukkahs parties, be that as many. But I wasn't looking for that. Well, if you want to have a relationship with a person, you need to invest in it. You know what? If you happen to have a relationship but you don't invest in it, it disappears over time. Right? It fizzles. I remember, actually, I spoke to him today, with Hillel David. I think I might probably have mentioned this before. When he was here 8 years ago, somebody asked him the following question. He said, it was an open question and answer. Hillel David, for those who don't know, is a very big Rav. I've brought him here a few times. He's one of the elder Rabbanim in Brooklyn, New York. He's a tremendous Torah scholar. So somebody asked him, how come he doesn't feel God in his life? He says he believes in God, but he doesn't feel God. So Rav Hillel David said to this individual, "And how often do you come to synagogue? Like, how often are you here?" So the individual said, "Oh, I come." Now this is a person who came once a week, very late on Shabbos day. So Rav Hillel David said to the person, he said, "I want to tell you something. I'm going to make it in modern day example. Imagine you have a father in London. You're living in San Jose and your father's in London. And you never speak to your father. You never talk to your father. You never email your father. You never Skype with your father. You don't call your father. Nothing. So what's your relationship with your father in London? You'll know in your head that you have a father in London, but will you feel that relationship at all? Not really. And even if you do, because of past experiences, what's going to happen over time? It will
dissipate.
You'll feel less and less. Like it will be like a little thought in your head. You have a father in London. But imagine the following thing. If you call your father every day, and you FaceTime with your father 3 times a day, and you send emails, what's it called? You text. Do you think you'd feel your father part of your life? Yeah. So the more you're connecting, the more you're going to feel. It's the same thing. Over time, Sean, if you're lazy in religiosity, you're going to feel Hashem less and less. And Hashem will have less and less part of your life. Until one day, you'll be so far gone, you won't be able to put yourself back so easily. It'll be much more difficult. You'll just feel it much less in life. We see in our eyes, this is how he's going to elaborate how much of laziness, failing to do what we're supposed to, is a spiritual impediment to spiritual advancement. We see many times, you know what you should do. This is what you got to do. This, you know what you need to do. You know what needs to be done. You know what your neshama, what your soul needs. But this could be in work. It could be in a million things in life. By the way, it's not just in spiritual. But at the end of the day, if you miss a business opportunity and you don't become the rich person you should be, or at the end of the day, you know you're not as well read or other things. There's a loss for sure. All those things. But if you miss the spiritual battle of life, you've missed life. When you realize what Torah and Mitzvah is the essence, right? You've missed a lot. You've missed opportunity. I had a Russian lady call me yesterday. She needed something helping with something, Chavar Kedisha, whatever it may be. So of course I got on the phone and I didn't let her go. So I said to her, "We don't know where you're from." She's somewhere in the, not so far, within 20 miles of the shul. And she said, "Are you connected to anything?" She came in 1980 from Russia, 1980. And when she first came in, she was a member of a conservative temple. So, but she said she hasn't done anything Jewish for years. But she said she's happy to be Jewish. So I said, "You know, of course, you don't know too much about Judaism." Little does she know, she's going to call me, she's going to get stuck. You don't know too much about Judaism. She says, "Yeah, she knows, but she says I'm better than my children's generation because they don't even say they're Jewish." Russian lady. She said that their parents are Jewish. I'm thinking to myself, like, what do you expect if you have these kids raised in a house with nothing Jewish? In Russia, what do they call you in Russia? Zhid? You knew you were Jewish. It's very hard to escape it. No one's calling you a Jid in public school in Cupertino or in Saratoga, right? They you know, whatever. So you have no. So if you're no Jew,
yes.
What
in the English, kike?
A kike? Yeah, they're not calling you a kike. Maybe somewhere, no. Maybe somewhere in Mississippi.
Certainly not where I grew up.
Somewhere in Mississippi, they're going to call you a kike. Not here. There is anti-Semitism here, but it's more related to anti-Zionism, and that's in colleges. But you know, in the end of the day, you know, you can. Something that I said this lady, I was very gentle with her, ultimately speaking. So you know, you should really look into your Judaism. But here's the crazy thing: I can never judge such a lady. I didn't grow up in Trotsky's destruction or Stalin's destruction, but she's been here since 1980. It's now 2017.
Almost 40 years.
After a certain time, you gotta say, why in the world am I Jewish? What does life mean about me? Like, just think of what you're doing in this world. It happens to be, what are you doing at the end of the day? And what are you accomplishing at the end of the day? Where are you at the end of the day? What are you going to be doing? What? You're going to miss so much in life. And you know what's going to happen to your kids? They will marry Goyim because they think their parents are Jewish and now they have nothing Jewish about them. So, you know, the person procrastinates or delays, and she didn't know better. What about us, though? Like, there are many people who know what they're supposed to do and where they're supposed to get to and what they could accomplish. And he let it go. Not because they don't realize it's a chova. I've told people, you know, actually, he just came in before Yehuda. He's a boy. Yehuda, he'll tell you where to shine. He came to the shul. Now he davens 3 times a day, learns daf yomi, learns extra. I had to push him to move. He didn't want to move. No one wants to move. He no one wants to move. You know what he would have been if he didn't move today? It would have been a third of what he is today. Not because of me. It was because he did it at the end. I didn't do
it. But he also grew up. He told me
it doesn't make a difference. He was in firm for 16 years.
Yes.
So I mean, he could not have moved because of laziness. That's why he wasn't going to move, right? You know, it was a certain inertia that people have. You know, I tell to be, you know, just put yourself in a better situation. You know, and sometimes you know what? I had a relative who went to a certain school. It wasn't for them, and they switched. They got out of the school. It wasn't for them. You know how hard it is to switch schools? It's hard to switch schools. Not an easy thing to switch schools. But they're in Israel, and this school wasn't good. So you could sit there because your friends are there, or you're there already, or you can move on. Everything's a personal shirach. But yeah, it's hard to move. It's hard to move your house. It's hard to move your school. And it's hard to move your life. you get set in your ways. You just, you know, I don't want to, you know you're supposed to do more. How often do we say, a person knows they could do it? Very often, I'm going to eat a bit, I'm going to sleep with my kids. Literally, there's a couple of them every night, like, to get them to do their homework. I got to play, I got to relax, I got to eat dinner, I got to take a shower, I got to blah, 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 math. Right, math. Who wants to do math when you can do a lot of other things? Right? Who wants to do math? You empathize, right? You know what it's like. I have a touch. My wife, I don't know how she like juggles all of them doing this, right? You know, it's hard for me to leave my house. I really want to go to shul. I have people, I'm telling you, I have people for months. I'm going to come on Sunday, I'm going to come to davening with, you know, and then what happened? Oh, I couldn't get up. I couldn't do this. It's very tough. I'm getting sick. I don't want to get cold. You know, like, yeah, come on. Kashal, that's amazing. The weather, it's too hot, it's too cold. Right? Pashas kitonti, echachal bashana. I come home at night, I'm tired, I got undressed, I got to get dressed to go out, there's a class. Chama asbal, oh, it's very hot outside. I mean, every kind of excuse in the world. Hakara rabo, gashama, it's very cold, very rainy. Vichol ashar misalasalatol, you know, shalapilatalam, people are full of excuses. When I get older, soon. I there's one guy, I don't give up, but you know, there's one guy I was dealing with. Guy's like late 70s, you know, not observant, it never was. But he grew up in a traditional setting, like old-styled conservative, which was much closer to in Montreal, which was then, it wasn't Orthodox, but it was a lot closer to what Orthodoxy would be today. You know, and the guy, I'm like, you know, come do, learn something. It's for a few years, soon. Timing's not right. Tells me he wants to, soon. The timing is not right. Like, the guy is going to die in a few years. I'm not joking. He's serious stuff. You know, I mean, what are you out of your, I mean, I can't tell him that. I'd scare the night out of him. But like, what are you wasting your life for? And he knows he should. He's told me that. He knows he should. You know, a person knows he should. People have plenty of excuses. Meanwhile, HaTorah Munachas. Torah is left unstudied. Mitzvahs are left undone. I don't want to go back to that Facebook thing, but I honestly, if I had asked anyone who has a speck of honesty, how much time they spend on these social media who do it. Not everyone does Facebook or whatever they do. How much time you sit there and tell me what you get out of putting smiley faces and hearts and commenting on people's pictures and looking at people's pictures. Let's have a conversation. What do you think God's going to say? I bet you 99% of anyone who has any religious blood in their blood, they'll be honest. They'll say, yeah, very little. Okay, so certain relatives, certain times, you need a certain break. But the amount of time that people spend on these type of things or on texting or on emailing, I mean, it's oyin v'noira. Now, again, if you have a business, you need to work on these things, fine. Or if you have, you know, your cousin, Aliza, in Yerushalayim, who you don't see, and that's the way you do that cut. But it's like a whole thing. People post everything on the web, and they comment, and they spend mamish free time. And they don't have time to daven mincha. And you know, if they have daven mincha, they could have had that parnasa to their children, they could be connected to Hashem. A million things. I mean, it's crazy to me. People go ahead of time for all kinds of mishras. Reading the news, today the news is constant. So a person reads the news in the morning. I remember, I was always, when I was in camp when I was a young kid, I won the award as the most political and like the most news. I was a kid. That was my news junkie. But you know what I grew up, what the news was like? You know what I read? I read two newspapers every morning. The Miami Herald and the Wall Street Journal. Every morning. That's what I read. That was it. I didn't know what it, if something happened, I mean, if there was something called a VT, I don't know if it's still around anymore, Vision, it's like a screen, I don't know if they have this reality, I haven't seen it for many decades, like a screen, like the zombies would come in there. You know, so if you wanted to see the news at night, they couldn't see on this VT, okay? You know what VT is? Vision Tele.
Television.
I think you spelled it wrong, but something like that. No one knew in the middle of the day. You didn't know. No one knew in the middle of the day. There could have been a bomb down the block. You didn't know in the middle of the day because it wasn't programmed. Today, you can look at the news every minute and refresh the news. You like play by.
You know, it's
20. I mean, you can spend how? Please tell me what you get out of that. Everything's. I mean, explain to me, and it needs to be the spin in the commentary. I mean, and so much of the news. I'm not taking. It's fake. I mean, it's just like stupid things, or just people's opinions on things. You have to get real news. It's hard today. Mom's hard, by the way. To actually get facts, not on all sides and all topics. Facts is hard to get. You know, people put, you know, even about local news, if it has anything which to do with anything, it's going to be, it's yellow journalism at some level, you know, largely. You know, whatever it is, you can spend so much inordinate amount of time on the news. So, I mean, it's at the end of the day, you ask yourself, like, what do you want to do? What's important? What really makes a difference? What is going to get you to remember? So, you know, Chavetz Chaim didn't waste a minute. Okay, we're not the Chavetz Chaim, but what's your aspiration for yourself? What's really important? Don't you want to come filled with mitzvahs? Can you imagine, you know, your neighbor's going to come, she said daven every day, and she said tefillin, and she did stuck, and she did chesed, You're going to come, you say, well, show me what you did, and you're going to say, I read the news for an hour a day, and I was on Facebook, and you're going to say, oh, Hashem, I did chesed. What was a chesed? I posted, and the person would have felt bad if I didn't post. Mamash azah chesed. Such a chesed. This person went to a picnic, and they had to post it. They went to the Vasona Park, and they posted three pictures of the duck. And if I didn't comment on the ducky, the duck looks great, and your dress is nice, God forbid, this person would have been insulted. So, I mean, a guy's going to say, that's, maybe give some, he'll give you 1,000 credit for that, but you could do a lot more in the world than that. You know, and commenting, I mean, on all these type of things. So the person has to have focus. You know, what you want to do. Actually, you know what's funny? If I go back to 10 years ago in law school is not so bad, but there's not far from the law school, there was a college. Now, University of Pennsylvania, which is the university of choice for the Trump family, the Perelman family, and many other families, is a good school. It's a top 10 school, top 5 in many things. But you know what happens? It's a remarkable thing. You look at these college kids, many of them do not succeed and do not do well. You know what happens when you get to college? If you keep focus on the ball, take your classes seriously, you know. But there are kids who go there, they get drunk, they run around, they lose focus. What happens? You create a reality. You know, they're in a great place to accomplish, to do something, to take advantage for career advancement. Really. And you know, it's not unique. There are plenty of schools like this. If you do well, you really could have it made. It's on a natural level with God's blessing. And you know what? A huge percent. Go to any college: Harvard, Stanford, Penn, Berkeley, Hastings, Davis, UCLA. I don't care which college it is, and just waste their time. Push it, waste. What? Tremendous. And you know, it's one a tremendous amount in all of these places. So you think to yourself, like, what are you doing with your life? Don't you realize, you not only did you waste $125,000 in law school or in college, like 4 years can cost you $200,000 in these schools. Crazy. No one pays fully paid. So 100-something thousand. You have dorms, 200,000. I mean, crazy. You could have been set up for your life and you're going to miss the boat. And you look back, and they're done. They had a 2.3 GPA. You know, and the rest of their life, the ramifications, you think these people are idiots. You know what happens? That's nothing. When you see a kid spending $200,000 and getting drunk and running around.
Well, he's not spending $200,000.
Depends on the family.
His parents are.
Depends on the family. It's not true. It really depends on the family. Not everyone comes with this Jewish perspective that their kids are going to do this. Depends on the family. I used you as an example, by the way. About you moving close. I hope you're okay with that.
It's kind of hard to... Does it really matter because after the fact?
I had my answer before I asked.
I
so at the end of the day, you look at this person, you spend $200,000, waste, and there's consequences for the rest of the person's life. If a person... Let's bring it to us now. You know, it's easier to look at other people. When we look at ourselves... You know, a person could have such great opportunities and lose them, and the consequences are a lot more than life. They go on for a long time. So he's telling us this because he doesn't want us to mess up. He wants us to have push to do what we're supposed to do. There's lots of excuses. And the divine service is neglected. And a person leaves God to some extent. Leaves that connection to some extent. Huma Shlomo Amar, this is what King Solomon said, Ba'atzal Chayim, through laziness, Yimach HaMikra, the ceiling sags. Right? Over Shiflas Yadayim, and it's Shiflas Yadayim, Yidlof HaBayis, the house leaks. You don't take care of something, there's a leak, and it's ruined. Actually, today, Asaf's boss came to my house. We had this like little leak. I didn't realize he broke the roof. He showed me there's a pipe, there's a crack in the pipe. Oh, you know, thank God this guy knew what he was doing. I mean, I mean, can you imagine? It could have got mold. You know how hard it is to get rid of mold when it comes to your house?
I have people who sold their houses before they got rid of mold.
Yeah, no, but this was like a leak. It was, yeah. You couldn't see it. It was like a little paint was chipping. So we asked her, look at it, whatever. I mean, yeah, mold, very, very hard to fix if you get mold. And the damages grow up, you know? Well, you know, probably because I was learning this, I thought, I can't wait. You know, at the end of the day, you know, in life, he's lamenting for us. Don't give up the opportunities of life. If you want to accomplish, don't get caught up in the sidetrack. Don't be like those kids who are in college or in law school or, you know what, in yeshiva. I look at, looking back at some people, they're in yeshiva, you know, may them not waste opportunities. It's just, you know, on all yeshivas, in all places, you could have been in, I was in some very good yeshivas. There are people who, and you imagine this forever, and it's not. It really is not. It really is not. Nothing is forever, right, in this world. Nothing is forever. So you got to take advantage. You know, I mentioned my kids. If you have kids in your house, take advantage. You're not going to be there forever. You know, my little girl singing her song, I'm telling you, my Yetzirah was pulling me out for a mitzvah. I had things to do, which were not, I was not drinking, I was not in bed. It's not going to lay down and have a pina colada.
No,
I wouldn't mind once in a while, but I was not. I had to like take care of things. But you know what? My daughter really, for when I've stopped and thought about it, was more important at that moment. Right? It really was. And it wasn't. It didn't have to. I have to do it, but it wasn't have to be at that moment. But I really could have lost that opportunity. I'm sure I have. Unfortunately, I have. I know I have things like that. I ran out. I can't hear it now. Tell me tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow she forgets, or this one forgets, and tomorrow goes. I know I've done that plenty of times, unfortunately. Sometimes it's legitimate, and often it's not. Often if I could have just put the brakes on it, you know, it would have been, I would have appreciated that moment. But it's not forever, you know? It's not, things are like this aren't forever. You gotta cherish it. Little, big girls don't do that, by the way. I don't know, you know, at least mine haven't. Like, they're 12, 13, 14, you know, that changes. Yeah, but they do other things, but they don't do that. I mean, it's like great. And then she was very nice, and a whole singing table, like a little choir. But you know, but even that, like, there's a million things in life that we don't stop. You know, I happen to like this concept of mindfulness. The only problem is very often what people are mindful of is the wrong things. You know, so you gotta make sure that we're on the ball. We're being mindful about important things.
Is it not possible to use social media constructively?
Of course it is.
There's always a balance.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, as I said. There is a constructive purpose. Okay. I just caution strongly that most people do not keep that balance.
It's very easy to fall over into that.
Let me give you an example. Both iPhones and cell phones have constructive purposes. And I think for most people, it's a necessity. Most people who, when we talk, and it comes like who are looking at a spiritual well check, you ask what's your iPhone usage? When do you use it? How often? How often do you check it? They abuse it. So is it possible? Of course it's possible. Would I say that 9.5 plus out of 10 don't have a good balance? Yes, I would say that. Now, are 9.5 out of 10 have terrible balance? No, I wouldn't say that. I would say at least 4 out of 10 have terrible balance.
You know, people who can't take out the garbage without taking their phone with them to take out the garbage.
I can't. People, I'm scared to walk on the street. People may hit me with a car because they're looking at their phone.
Right.
You know, I'm not joking. A few times I've been next to the car next to me, and as they're driving, I'm like, get me away from this person. They're on their phone. I'm not talking. They're on the texting or whatever, or looking at their emails. You know, there are people who walk into polls because they're looking at it, you know. You know, there are people, statistically, many people, first thing they do when they wake up in the morning is look at their phone. With all these things, it's to make a point. It's, you know, sometimes you have to hammer something home. And everyone has to know for themselves what works and what doesn't work. But you have to be honest, you know, it's a tool, and like all tools, but it's an addictive tool. I remember when I was younger, people with the VT, I watch, very educational. Yeah, as theory as possible. Not today, but you know, once upon a time there were Sesame Streets. You know, and there was Mr. Rogers, you know. You know, today it's like, forget about it. When I grew up in the, it was the Brady Bunch, Pashet, you know, Lassie.
Oh, that was...
The reruns.
You were watching reruns. Yeah, I was watching the reruns.
Yeah, I'm saying, in a diamond. Today, it's like, I can't even say it. I mean, taped over. I can't even say the words of some of these shows. I haven't seen it for decades. Believe it or not, I haven't seen the VT for decades. Anything. Klum. Gornet. Zero. But you can see in the newspapers what they talk about and what these shows are about. I mean, it's sick. Sick. I mean, I probably only know a little bit what's in there. Sick stuff. So, I mean, you ask a fair question. So, you have to, judge it. Use your judgment, what it is. But it'd be chaval to lose out important things in life because of that. And, and I have heard from many people who have told me this. Whenever they comment or whenever they post, they end up looking back and back and back and back to see things. On politics also, there's a guy who told me, he comments on political blogs, and then he'll go back and see who comments on his comments.
Well, yeah,
and who comments?
It's easy to become addicted to it.
So again, it's a virtual world. And that's what it is. It's a virtual world. Okay, v'ulam tishal as appeal. So if you ask a lazy person, many people who are religious will come with sages' words. They're going to tell you back. Sages, certain important things that hamikrois minexud hamsel that come with like psukim and gemaras and Jewish ideas to back up their social media use or their entertainment play or not coming to davening or not coming to classes or not being tznius for ladies. I have to. As I said, someone told my sister it's a kiddush Hashem to walk around provocative. That people should look at a Jewish girl as pretty and attractive. So she has provocative.
Well, you can be pretty and attractive
at
the same
provocative.
No.
Listen to what I said. Provocative. I didn't say pretty. Provocative. Kiddush Hashem. She should look like Barbies, because this is a Kiddush Hashem. I mean, you can convolute anything in the world. I'm being such a good Jew by doing this, I've had Jews tell me it's a mitzvah for them not to keep Shabbos. If you know, Rabbi, what I'm doing, you'd understand it's a mitzvah for me not to keep Shabbos. And they go, Mama Shaka Gemara. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to me to do this. It's a good thing for this to happen. I'm doing. I know better than God. Achveis. I know. Lahakil Allah Asher. A person makes up with crazy reason. Lahakal alav. Sometimes it's to la anich b'menuchas atzluso. Right? To let the person do what they want and not have to change or not have to push or not have to exert. When it roi she'ena tainas, the person really doesn't even see it. The person doesn't realize that the foundation's off, and that's why they're rationalizing these things. El memokor atzuloso hanovin. What's really causing this? Is their own laziness. A shabiosolo egoveris bo. The more you wanna, just stick to your lifestyle, like this 75-year-old person. Soon I have this, I gotta spend. If someone who tells me shalom bayis, I don't wanna come to davening, I don't wanna learn shalom bayis, I don't wanna affect my marriage, it's very important, shalom bayis. It doesn't have shalom bayis, a person plays golf, but this year shalom bayis, he can't come to davening. For a million things, people moving. I mean, I can't tell you people. There are people who live in like Yehudsville. They would do so much better in Tyro. So much the family would do better. Move, do something. Go learn. Do whatever. And the person won't hear what the Torah has to say. Chacham atzel be'enav. A chacham is who's atzel and is enav is b'shiva shive tam. He thinks he knows more than seven people who have seichel of intelligence. He knows best. Ki atzala, laziness, again, desire to keep your lifestyle, desire to not move, to not change, to not exert, is You don't want to listen to people telling you differently. No, exercise. I could give an example. I said this last week. Everyone should exercise. If you don't exercise, the person can tell, you don't have time. I mean, exercise is very important. It doesn't mean you have to lift weights. You have to go for walks. You have to jog, cardiovascular. It can be, there's studies showing you're happier. You have more energy. You have more time. You have more strength. You'll live longer, right? You'll function better. Exercise is important. You know, this. I have a million excuses. Menachasa, even if you tell a person, you can point out every fact. What are you doing? It doesn't make sense. This is, instead of sitting with a bag of potato chips with reading a book, go exercise. You'll be much better. Parts is low fat potato chips. I still got to talk, by the way, about this restaurant. I'm waiting for this. It's coming. I last heard it's coming. I went today. I know it's coming. So can't sell. But a person on the actual culture, everyone else is wrong. Everyone else is wrong. They're crazy. They don't realize who levado chacham. This person knows better. I know best. And by the way, a million things people do that. Whether it's on spirituality, whether it's doing things, seeing things, going places, living places. This is very true. If you want to stop doing bad behavior, if you want to stop a lifestyle which is bad for you, listen, this it was worth it to come for this tonight. When you have something you need to work on, whenever you're going to be lenient, all right, let's pick internet use. So you spend 4 hours a day on the internet. You say, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? Every night, I'm going to close the computer. If you go to work, you work during the day, so every night I'm going to close the computer. Or you're an iPhone junkie, and you're going to say, until I daven Shacharis, I'm not going to look at my email on my iPhone. I'm not going to pick up the iPhone. Okay? Tool. Aspirational. But what happens? You hear that there's a terrorist attack. You got to see the news. You got to know what's going on. Or somebody had a baby. You got to see the picture. This is pekuach nefesh. If I don't see the picture this morning before davening, who knows what's going to happen? Or somebody's expecting, and I need to know if they had the baby yet. God forbid, if I daven Shacharis first, then I don't know what would happen. I have to know. Or so-and-so, Barbara, or Samantha, or Cindy, told me they're going to email me. So I got to check to see if they email me. Now, this will happen automatically, right? A person says, I'm going to exercise 3 times a week, but now I have to do this mitzvah. Whenever you take something on to improve yourself, and the Yetzirah pushes you to break down the end, it needs to be checked. Do you really need to check your iPhone before davening? Do you really? Let's think. It's such a mitzvah for me to know if she had a baby. Why is it such a mitzvah to know your baby? You can know it in 45 minutes from now, right? Do you really think if you don't email her right away, mazel tov, life will end if you email after? You need to know now. You need to know that Barbara emailed you, or Cynthia, or Cindy. You need to know now. Right? There's a terrorist attack, and you decide for yourself. Right? You're not going to look at the internet. What's going to happen if you don't see the news? You'll hear from somebody. So you know, two people were, God forbid, shot in Waikiki. Okay, so you'd like to know what's going on in Waikiki. Is that really what you need to do tonight to look at the news? You need to check. Cool. And you're taking someone, particularly you have a desire to come to a shir. Commit yourself to come to class. Or you're going to have a mincha twice a day. Mincha once a day. If you have to yell, So now you have something that comes up. You think very careful. Is it really something that you can't do? Is it really? Because what's going to be? It's always going to say, of course it is. It's so important, or I'm so tired, or it's so whatever, or I just need to relax, or exercise is really hot outside and cold outside, whatever, think really care. When you're going to be lenient in these examinations, ki aval pi shechol lo sheshenachol, there are exceptions to rules. There are things sometimes you have to, but you have to. Amkar of hadavar. Very often the Yetzirah tricks a person and makes something so important, so big, so huge. If I don't email back, if I don't, go to this, if I don't do this, if I daven mincha right now and I don't, whatever. Yeah, there's a million things that come up in life, and the Yetzirah, this is so important. So huge, so great, so fantastic. I can't go to class tonight because I'm so tired. Then, all of a sudden, the same night, somebody says, why don't we do this? Whatever. And you do it. I can't go back to my kids. I'm so tired. All of a sudden, we bring out ice cream. I want the ice cream. Well, they're so tired. No, I want the ice cream. I want the ice cream. So if you're really tired, you don't want to go to shir, you don't want to go to a class, I'm still bothered, it's too personal, if the person listens to this, but you can skip mitzvahs, and, you have good reasons, but you better, but they're not real, you really break it down, and it's not true, so there are times, you just got to think it very carefully, when you're taking on to work on yourself. If you accepted something to improve, think very careful if you're not going to fulfill it. This person is legitimately sick, they don't have time, or they have to help someone, or they need to check their email that morning because someone's flying in and you're picking them up, your mother, your father, or you have a doctor's appointment and you really cannot wait. Okay. But most time, someone texted you, wow, what happens if you don't answer right away? Earth shattering.
Well, it could be timely, but not necessarily earth shattering.
I promise you, if someone's timely, they need you, they'll call you and they'll hunt you down. How do I know this? Because I get hunted down.
Well, because you don't text, so people know that.
Well, they don't have my cell phone, so they can't text me anyways.
But
I have relatives who do, and they know I don't text, and they'll hunt me down.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But so whatever it is, so then tell them that Rav Dessler, in the early 1950s, stopped smoking. And you know how he stopped smoking? He was a mashkiach in a yeshiva called Panovich Yeshiva, which is one of the best yeshivas in Israel, Bnei Brak. It's 1950s, before Surgeon General's warnings, before they knew about nicotine. But he looked at smoking as wasting time. He looked at it as wasting time. It took time to smoke. They didn't realize how bad it was at the time for your lungs and for your heart. But smoking takes time. And so how did he stop? I stopped smoking. He started telling you, I stopped smoking. So it made him feel uncomfortable to smoke. So tell your friends, you don't, before you're davening, you don't look at your phone. The end! Yeah, that way, Uri Zohar. Anyone heard Uri Zohar? Uri Zohar was one of the most famous Israeli actors, entertainers in the 1970s. So, he said once he started to become religious, he said this right away, he was offered a job, which would have made him, on Shabbos, you gotta tell people right away. I don't do this, so people know. It's if you make a commitment, stick to it. But there are times that if you're gonna be lenient, think very carefully. Is it really that important? Is it really people that don't want to get angry and then they do something. Was it really something that was that important to get? Is it really something so important that you should get angry about? Klal shel davar. Chizik gadol tzarech ha'adam. Lischazik uleskaber b'tzuzis l'smitzvah. You need a lot of chizik. If you want to accomplish, you need a lot of strengthening. Bas shlicho me'alav kovid atzalah ma'kav sagadah. To throw off the sluggishness of laziness which puts you into a thing. V'tiru shamalachim, the angels, nishtabku b'midah ha'tov azos. Shneimar bahem, we say that in Tehillim, giburach koach, right? They are strong words. Osa devaro, bekol devaro. They listen, they hear and they do. They hear and do. That's what angels do. Chayas are a higher level of angel. They run and come back. Kamar bozak, like a flash. Vine adam hu adam lamach. We're humans, we're not angels. Al kain, he efshalo, she gilik vash shamach. No one expects you to be an angel. Achvada yishu koma shiskarev. Something when you know it's right, that you should push yourself to do it, that's great. That's how you accomplish. V'david amelach hayim shabbos al chalko. The Omer David, when he thanked God for his portion, when he did, what did he say? Chashti, I hastened. Chashti, v'lo hismamanti, and I did not delay lishma mitzvosecha. I hastened. I prioritized. I made sure. I hastened, and that's why I was able to come to your mitzvahs. And Zrizus, therefore, starts the of the ladder of accomplishment starts with this. Okay, hold on. Thank you. Next week, there'll be this presentation.